You're listening to a message delivered at the Fountains, a United Methodist Church in Fountain Hills, Arizona.
If some of you recognize the sermon you hear this morning, it's because you've heard this sermon before. In fact, I've threatened to preach this sermon every year until you've got it memorized. But I've missed the last couple of years, so it's long overdue to be repeated. Why? Because what I'm sharing with you today is not only at the heart of why the United Methodist denomination is breaking up, but also at the heart of the growing political divide in our country, namely the way people perceive reality and make decisions about their lives. Right now, fundamentalist Christians are feeding a growing Christian nationalist movement in this country, founded on a very narrow way of interpreting the Bible. In turn, traditionalist Methodists have made their interpretation of the Bible in general, and the exclusion of LGBTQ people in particular, a litmus test for measuring the purity of one's Christianity. And all of this is being driven by an allegiance to a particular way of interpreting the Bible to the exclusion of all else, be it science, history, or rational thought, which is one of the reasons we're returning to this theme today and to our text from Hebrews in particular. Some of your Bibles will say Paul's letter to the Hebrews, and many fundamentalists will consider it heresy to think otherwise. But even the casual reader can't help but see that the vocabulary and subject matter is completely different from other, what we know now to be authentic letters of Paul. Using methodology that has been common in mainline religious education for over 150 years, scholars agree that Hebrews was really written much later than Paul, but in the voice of Paul, to give it some extra oomph, some extra authority. In this particular passage, the author is expressing annoyance at how slowly the recipients are growing spiritually and is prodding them to grow up. And because I love the way Eugene Peterson paraphrases it, we're hearing the Message version this morning.
Our words of wisdom are from Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11 through chapter 6, verse 1a, the Message version. I have a lot more to say, but it is hard to get it across to you since you've picked up this bad habit of not listening. By this time, you ought to be teachers yourselves, yet here I find you need someone to sit down with you and go over the basics of God again. Starting from square one, baby's milk, when you should have been on solid food long ago.
Milk is for beginners, inexperienced in God's ways. Solid food is for the mature, who have some practice in telling right from wrong. So come on, let's leave the preschool finger-painting exercises on Christ and get on with the grand work of art. Grow up in Christ. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Thanks be to God.
Has this ever happened to you? You're driving along and too late you see a giant pothole. Wham! Immediately there's a shimmy in the steering wheel and you know that a visit to the mechanic is in order. When this happened to me, my front end needed to be realigned, but not before each tire was inflated to the proper pressure and then rotated to make sure the wear was even across all the tires, front left to back right to back left, etc. You know this. All kinds of variables in the tires can affect the whole vehicle, even determine if you get where you're going or not. And that's why I've landed on this tire metaphor as one of the clearest ways of describing what makes us as Methodists unique. I remember growing up and having passionate evangelical friends who had all the answers to everything sewn up. They'd ask me, "So what do Methodists believe about this or that?" And I'd pause and I'd think, I'd say, well, and that kind of hesitation has led to the impression that Methodists don't believe in anything, except maybe potlucks. But one of the innovations that John Wesley brought to his founding of the Methodist movement was his way of thinking things through, his way of doing theology. And yet most Methodists aren't even aware of the very thing that makes Methodism significant. And that is the fact that we don't advocate a particular theology, but a process, a methodology. That's in part why we're called Methodists. Wesley had a method for everything. And when faced with making a decision, Wesley worked what later scholars have identified as a distinct method, a formula, if you will, with four elements: scripture, tradition, experience, and reason. From the Church of England, he brought with him an emphasis on three elements: scripture, reason, and tradition. And then Wesley added his own unique contribution of personal experience. I like to remember that the initials S-T-E-R spell steer, elements that help you steer your decisions, hence the car illustration. So let's look at scripture. Wesley believed everything necessary for salvation is found in the Bible. Yet the Bible is not to be read literally. It isn't a science book, not a medical textbook, or even a history book. It's a disjointed collection of over 60 books from many authors and editors living in many different cultures and situations. Second is tradition, and that's church tradition, basically. What those who have gone before us have said about their faith informs our faith. What's worked in the past? Maybe it'll work now. The third element is experience. That was Wesley's contribution. How you experience the divine is important in your faith journey. What is your personal experience? And finally, reason is critical. Not only in understanding how to read the Bible, but how to interact with a world the demands of which no biblical author ever dreamed of. God gave you a mind, so use it, is the point of reason. So taken together, these four sources inform our faith. They help steer our decision-making. They are tools to help us in life, and like four tires on a car, each is important to be kept in alignment. That's what some scholars have called the quadrilateral, the four sides, and it's absolutely essential to consider all four equally. Keep those tires inflated and aligned properly. If you don't, you start taking on the characteristics of some other ways of thinking. If you're a Catholic car, for instance, generally your tradition wheel is way overinflated. Historically, it hasn't been the Catholic tradition to have lay people even read scripture at all. That's a job for the priests. If you have a tough decision to make, you find out what the Pope has to say about it. That's tradition. If you're a Southern Baptist, your scripture wheel is huge. In fact, the other wheels have simply fallen off the car. The Bible is emphasized over all else. The Bible is to be read literally. And reason is, in fact, the work of the devil. It's taught at corrupt institutions like my alma mater, Boston University. So beware. If you're an Episcopalian or Unitarian car, your reason wheel might be dominant, more cerebral and logical. It's got to make sense or forget it. But if you're a Methodist car, if we're going to err anywhere, it's usually on overinflating the experience wheel. It just feels right, is what Methodists tend to say. Personal experience wins out over everything else. Some people think that all you need is the Bible and that you can read the text without bringing to bear your own experience or your rational mind, which, besides being impossible, is, I don't know, delusional. But for many people, being out of touch with reality is a pillar of their faith. So let's be clear. If one of these elements is used to the exclusion of the others, you're likely to drive into a ditch. But if they're all used together and kept in creative tension, these four sources, scripture, tradition, experience, and reason, can inform our faith, help us make decisions, and help us live out balanced, healthy lives. If you're not convinced, let me ask you this. Did you know that Jesus was a Methodist? No kidding. At least he runs a pretty good quadrilateral. In all three Synoptic Gospels and the Gospel of Thomas, Jesus is confronted by hostile questioners trying to trap him into taking an explicit and dangerous anti-Roman stance. Should Jews pay taxes to Rome or not? You remember how it goes? Jesus asks, whose head is it on this denarius? The emperor's. And what does it say? Divi Caesari, the divine Caesar. Well, that goes against Jewish tradition of monotheism. There is no God but Yahweh. Plus, according to scripture, Jews are to make no graven images of idols, which the emperor clearly is. When it comes to experience, Jesus would have been very aware of the Jewish tax riots against Rome that had served as an excuse for further violent crackdowns. It stands to reason, considering the consequences of advocating not paying taxes, especially when, according to Luke's account, the people who put the question to Jesus were spies trying to trip him up. It seems reasonable to advocate paying those taxes. And here's the kicker. After all, Caesar only wants your money, so just give it to him. God, on the other hand, wants everything, all of you. So there you have it. Jesus using scripture, tradition, experience, and reason. The quadrilateral is a process, a methodology, not a theology. For Wesley, why you believe something is just as important as what you believe. How did you arrive at your convictions? It's no good if you only believe what you believe because somebody told you that's what you're supposed to believe. Test what you believe. Work it out with others. Doubt. Ask questions. Dig. That's why there's such a great diversity of beliefs among Methodists. Some tend to be very conservative theologically, and others, progressive. It's because as Methodists, we don't have a particular theology, but a methodology. Years ago, we used to teach our confirmation kids about the quadrilateral. We'd use masking tape to mark off four squares on the floor, one for each element of the quadrilateral. We'd put a kid in each square and then ask them about some value or principle, like, say, cheating on a test. The kid in the scripture box said, the Bible says no lying. The kid in the tradition box said, schools have an honor system. They expect you not to cheat. The kid in the reason box said, if you think you have to cheat, you probably don't know the material, and then you'll already be behind on the next lesson. The kid in the experience box said, I got caught cheating once, and trust me, it's not good. So they were all able to agree that cheating is not acceptable. Fine. Well, then we opened it up to topics that interested the kids. First things they said, abortion. What? Screeched one of the parent chaperones. The kids were adamant. Okay. So the kid in the scripture box said, the Bible says no killing. The kid in the reason box asked, yeah, well, when exactly is it killing? Conception or later? One of the parents stepped into the tradition box and said, the United Methodist Church says that this is a decision to be made between a woman and her doctor. Okay. The girl in the experience box said, I had a friend who had an abortion It was a terrible experience. But the father was a relative, and she was really young. The kid in the reason box asked, "What do we know about the baby's health?" They struggled with question after question about context and circumstances, and then they finally decided, we can't make a blanket belief statement about abortion. They wanted to know the woman's situation, the circumstances of the pregnancy, the health of the unborn child, etc. And I thought, oh my gosh, these are little Methodists. We tend to be people who are wired to ask questions and talk through things that don't make sense and see if we can find a more compassionate or inclusive way of doing things. When people ask me, what do Methodists believe about this or that? I generally say, well, let's sit down and have a conversation about it. Let me suggest that in the current political atmosphere in this country, it would do us a lot of good if more people out there were having conversations. We would do well to help others approach the big decisions systematically instead of dogmatically or purely ideologically. And no, Facebook posts are not one of the four elements of the quadrilateral. Considering scripture, tradition, experience, and reason, sit down with a friend and talk through some of the old standards for yourself. Capital punishment, LGBTQ rights, prison reform, immigration, gun control. Or how about some of the more recent hot button issues? Black Lives Matter, systemic racism, mask mandates, vaccine hesitancy, or the Stop the Steal campaign. Frankly, on a lot of these, I think our country has simply lost its reason wheel altogether. It's back there lying on the road someplace, but that might just be me. Look, there are those who want simple answers to everything so they can just cross them off their list. Got that figured out? Check. Oh, got this decided? Check. But to them, and maybe some of you, I remind you of our passage from Hebrews. Milk is for beginners, inexperienced in God's ways. Solid food is for the mature, who have some practice in telling right from wrong. So come on, let's leave the preschool finger-painting exercises on Christ and get on with the grand work of art. Grow up in Christ. In other translations, the grow up in Christ is go on to perfection. If you've been a Methodist for very long, you probably recognize that as one of Wesley's mantras. We're going on to perfection as Methodists. But the whole idea is that it's a process. It's a journey. And the only time you have to worry is when you think you know all the answers. It's about getting practice in telling right from wrong. And that takes work. It's not some sort of magic. As Methodists, we don't say, here's what you're supposed to believe, so sign your name on the dotted line and poof, God loves you. It's about growing and struggling together. That means wrestling with the real stuff of life in the real world and making decisions that reflect one's convictions as a follower of Jesus. So just stop your whining and grow up already. How? By using the quadrilateral. S-T-E-R, scripture, tradition, experience, reason. The quadrilateral helps Methodists connect to the real world. We try to take into consideration all aspects of life and engage in a conversation that leads us in a forward direction. Back in 2011, evangelical megachurch pastor Rob Bell wrote a book declaring that he couldn't believe in a God of love who tortured people for eternity in a literal hell. He was immediately rejected by leading evangelicals, left his church of tens of thousands of members, and is now hanging out in California with other ex-evangelicals and the Oprah crowd. Bell made a career-ending mistake for an evangelical, thinking that his faith should make sense. He came to the conclusion that an all-loving God who condemns millions to eternal torture is incompatible with rational thought. Boom! Reason, personal experience, and scripture conflicted with his faith's tradition, and everything needed to be reconsidered. And he's not alone. Back in 1994, Bishop Carlton Pearson, who had been mentored by Oral Roberts and was considered to be Roberts' adopted black son, saw a news report on the genocide in Rwanda and was troubled by the thought that his Pentecostal Christianity taught that murdered non-Christian Rwandans were going straight to hell. He publicly questioned the existence of hell, and because his tradition doesn't allow for questioning, doesn't allow for conversation, doesn't allow for change, people were incensed. Most of his church members up and left, and he was eventually fired. Methodists have a gift to offer people: freedom to think, freedom to question, freedom to change. I keep preaching this sermon because inevitably people come up to me afterwards and say, "This is why I feel comfortable as a Methodist. I didn't know there was a name for it." Well, many of you may have loved ones who've left the church because they think they have to believe a certain way or else. Not so with those who embrace this quadrilateral. We're in a conversation. We take the challenges of life seriously and apply the teachings of Jesus the best that we can. And that puts us on a journey together. And without question, that's why I'm still a Methodist. Having a method, having a way to make faithful decisions may not always make life easier, but it helps things make more sense. My hope is that the mystery of that fifth wheel, the Spirit, would remind all of us to consider, when facing the most important questions in life and faith, the method which makes us truly Methodist. Be well.
Thanks for listening to this week's Applying It to Life from the Fountains. For more information or to support this outreach with a donation, visit www.weputtlovefirst.org.